Welcome to Module 1 of the Finally Free Teacher Toolkit. This module is on freedom from comparison. Listen when you're feeling not good enough and comparing yourself to others. We'll start off by talking about how to notice what is creating those feelings of comparison. Anytime you're not feeling good enough, challenge yourself to think about what you've been thinking about. Have you been running through a mental list of mistakes that you've made? Have you been thinking about all the things that you were supposed to do and didn't get done? Have you been thinking back to previous school years, maybe when you were in a different season of life, and contemplating how much better of a job that you did back then? You see, our thoughts create our feelings. So if you're feeling bad about yourself, consider what you've been spending a lot of time thinking about and focusing on and talking about. Don't judge yourself or berate yourself for having those thoughts, but examine them with curiosity. Say to yourself, I'm feeling insecure and overwhelmed and like I can't possibly measure up. What have I been thinking about or talking about or focusing on that might have created those feelings? Practice observing your thoughts when you notice your mood shifting so that you can course correct right away in the future. So you might think to yourself, I'm feeling kind of discouraged right now. What have I been thinking about that might have created those feelings? Let's see. I've been looking through all those amazing looking classrooms on Pinterest for way longer than I wanted to. And I started thinking about all the things I feel like I should have thought of myself. And I realized I've been doing things the hard way all this time. I also saw some things on there that triggered thoughts about how I would never be able to pull something like that off. And that triggers feelings of comparison too. And I saw things that created thoughts about how I'd done something similar, but mine wasn't really good enough in comparison. So that means it's probably time to get off Pinterest and focus on something else. You see, when you can identify the triggers for those feelings of comparison, you can start to regulate the amount of exposure that you have to those triggers. Your trigger might be spending too much time with a certain colleague, for example, or looking at specific websites. Social media is a big trigger for a lot of people because we're bombarded with images and videos of what thousands of other teachers and schools are doing. We see not only how they're decorating their classrooms, but also the amazing school culture that they're creating, their fantastic immersive lessons, the adorable outfits they're wearing, the amazing looking food they're eating, and the perfect looking home that they live in with an adorable, perfect looking family. We see it all. Or at least we think we do. What we're really doing, of course, is comparing their highlight reel to our real life. We see their best projects, the most attractive areas of their classrooms, their most engaging lessons, and we unintentionally compare them to our full reality. We think of our own worst stuff, the ugliest part of our classroom where there's just a gigantic mess of stuff piled on a table, and we think, my room is awful in comparison. Why can't my room look like hers? You have to actively push against that internal voice that says, you're not good enough. You need to do more. When those feelings of comparison take over, tell yourself, I am enough. My efforts are enough. I have a limited amount of time and energy that I can dedicate to my work, and I choose to focus on my own top priorities, regardless of what everyone else is doing. The purpose of my classroom is to help kids learn and to help me teach. I choose to stay focused on this purpose. I can be okay with having a classroom that doesn't look like a magazine spread. I'm going to stay focused on the kids and streamlining the learning process for them, because if I do that, I can't go wrong. You see, the key to avoiding comparison is to stay reflective on your own vision for your own classroom by getting clear on your why. Once you know the why, the reason behind the choices that you've made, you'll no longer feel so much pressure to be like everyone else. It won't matter what anyone else is doing or what they think about what you're doing if you know your purpose and you're focused on that. So when you're feeling like you're not good enough and you're falling into that trap of comparison, observe your thoughts. Think about what you've been thinking about and what you've been talking about and focusing on. What you give attention to, you give power to. Observe your triggers and the people and places and habits you have that tend to make you feel bad about yourself. Limit your exposure to those triggers and have replacement thoughts ready whenever thoughts of comparison creep in. Tell yourself, I am enough. Know your own strengths and pay attention to your achievement. When you stay clear on your vision and your priorities, those feelings of comparison will lose their power over you.
My 17-year-old niece once proclaimed, "I have found the secret of life." And I said, "What's that, Stacy?" And she said, "The secret of life is confidence." "Very good," I said, "you're probably right." "And the secret to gaining confidence," she said, "is to act like you have confidence." Well, this touched a nerve for me, because while I knew confidence was important, so many times when I looked around and compared myself to others, I still felt not good enough, lesser than. And my lack of confidence, especially when I was comparing myself to others, seemed to hold me back from greater achievement and accomplishments. Everyone else seemed to have it together. Why didn't I? As a teacher, it's no different. We look around and we see the teacher down the hall who has the perfectly designed graphic organizers or the Pinterest-worthy bulletin boards, and we get this knot in our stomachs. We somehow feel that we're not doing enough or creating enough or accomplishing enough. And then our confidence nosedives and our anxiety rises, because it can be a huge source of anxiety and tension. Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And I agree. Of course, it would be easy for me to say, "Well, just don't do it." But we both know that's not going to work, so I won't do that. But let me share some ideas for you on how to navigate your anxiety when you are comparing yourself to others and somehow are feeling less than. First of all, the only person you have to be better than is you. If it's the first time I go into a gym and I see someone bench pressing 250 pounds, I know that that's not something I'm going to be able to do right away. Certainly not on the first time, probably not even on the 10th time. If there is a skill that someone else has that you want to do, you need to give yourself time. The only person you have to be better than is the person you were yesterday. And that takes time and small, consistent practice over time. I remember one of the last times I was in a gym and I had to bench press something. The trainer said I should just start with the bar and that they would add weight later. And beside me, these buff dudes were bench pressing hundreds of pounds as if they were lifting grocery bags. It was hard to look around and see that I was enough. Sure, it was a little embarrassing. Sure, my anxiety rose. But it was also a little funny. I had to recognize that I was on my own path and that I would eventually get where I wanted to go. So remember, you don't need to be better than anybody else. The only race you are running is against yourself. Focus on what you're doing and strive to be a little better every day. Secondly, focus on being happy for your colleagues and their successes. You've heard the expression, "What others think of you is none of your business," right? Well, the opposite is also true. What you think of others is none of your business. It's none of your business if another teacher just got awarded 4 grants and will be studying abroad for 6 months. I know sometimes it's hard not to be jealous when someone gets the 4th grade teaching assignment you wanted, or gets that corner classroom right by the drinking fountain. But if you look around, there are plenty of things that you have to be grateful for as well. And there's probably someone looking at you, wishing they had what you have. Similarly, keep this in mind. You have lived with your skills your entire life, and so they seem natural to you. So you don't think of them as special or unique. They're just what you do. But the truth is, they are special, and other people would love to have the skills you have. So take a moment and look around and ask yourself, what do I do that other people cannot do as well? What am I good at? And once you identify the skills that you possess, acknowledge them and appreciate them. Focus on the things that you do that are special and unique that others simply cannot do as well. Next, focus on the journey, not the result. We all have expectations about how we want things to turn out, and that's fine. But we will compare ourselves to others less if we are focused on our journey and let the results take care of themselves. Be in the moment and live where you are, not where you want to be. Finally, forgive yourself. When things don't turn out the way you want, or if you aren't exactly like everyone else, give yourself some grace and know that where you are is where you were meant to be, and that's okay. Self-forgiveness is not an easy thing, especially for teachers, but it can be so empowering and can reduce the need for comparison. And if you don't like where you are, you can always make changes. But learning to accept where things are in the moment will give you the time and space to make those changes more effectively. Finally, if you can't completely stop comparing yourself to others, turn the comparison into motivation. Use the impulse to compete with others to push yourself to make the changes you desire. When you compare yourself to others, it's so easy to feel as if you don't measure up or that you are in some ways less than. And this does create anxiety, stress, and tension. But if you make the race about being better than you were yesterday, and you find things to be grateful for in your own backyard, and you remember that what others are doing is simply none of your business, and if you remember that you have your very own special and unique set of skills, the anxiety of comparing yourself to others will diminish, leaving you the space not only to decrease your sense of anxiety, but to focus on your teaching practice as well.
Envision teaching as a marathon, not a sprint, and pursue excellence over time. Often our feelings of comparison stem from internalizing the pressure to do all the things and do them all perfectly. That's not possible. And you can't allow yourself to take on such a heavy burden, no matter what pressure you're facing from your school or district. Mentally, you have to tell yourself, nope, I am not expecting myself to be an expert in every single area of curriculum, instruction, pedagogy, and classroom management. This is complex stuff that takes years to master, and I refuse to feel guilt or shame because I'm not further along in the process. I'm learning more every day, and that's all I can ask of myself. You see, creating those boundaries is something that will feel easier as you practice trusting yourself. You are the only person in the world who truly understands what needs to be done for your unique teaching situation and your unique group of kids. You know your classroom dynamics better than anyone else. And so you can learn to trust that feeling in you that rises up. Trust that inner voice that says, I can stop here. This is enough. I am enough. My value and worth as a teacher is not defined by what I do, but who I am. And this is true regardless of whether anyone in your school system tells you that. You are responsible for drawing your own boundaries around your time and figuring out how much energy you're going to expend on every task. You decide. You can't let guilt or comparison sway you from what you know is right deep in your heart or cause you to sacrifice your health or your family. When you're tempted to compare yourself to others, or compare yourself to your own standard of what you think you should be able to do, consider what season of life you're in. If you have a family member in hospice care, for example, you're in a season where you're focused on end-of-life issues and grieving. If you have young children at home, you're in a very long season of pouring a tremendous amount of time and energy into being a caregiver. Becoming a better teacher and everything else that you care about will be a priority in another season. You can improve your effectiveness in the classroom at any time, but you cannot get this season of life back with your loved ones ever again. You will find yourself growing frustrated and overwhelmed if you pressure yourself to accomplish goals now that are properly addressed in another season of life. It will take twice as much effort and you'll get half the results. So it's critical to know which season of life you're in and plan your priorities accordingly. In this way, balance is not a daily achievement. It's a lifetime achievement. You want to look back at your life many years from now and see that you spent seasons focusing on yourself, seasons focusing on your significant other, seasons focusing on your children, on making a home, on your career, and so on. And that was all exactly what you were supposed to have done at each point in time. If that's not the path you're currently headed down, don't worry. It's never too late to change something that's not working. Remember that the goal is not to do everything you can each day, but everything you should. Don't try to just fit in more. Instead, think about what season of life you're in and which priorities you should be focusing on in that season in order to get the best results. Teaching is a marathon, not a sprint, so you can pursue excellence over time.
Here are some key takeaways from lesson one, freedom from comparison. Number one, thoughts create feelings. Notice what you're thinking about in order to avoid the comparison spiral. Number two, create boundaries around your time. The goal is not to do everything you can, but everything you should. Number three, respect the season of life you're in now, and remember that balance is a lifetime rather than a short-term goal. Now here is your finally free challenge for lesson one. Whenever you're feeling stuck in comparison mode, identify your triggers. Who or what is leading you down that path? How can you limit your exposure to the trigger or reframe the way you think about it? Thank you for listening. We hope that the suggestions, stories, and strategies we've shared with you will help you to be finally free.